You point to one of New Hampshire's strengths in the economy as its diversity. It's largely made up of small businesses. We're not heavily tied to one major industry or another. And at the same time, you've proposed bills aimed at spurring job growth in specific sectors. Medical devices is one example. How do you ensure that government policies don't end up tying states to specific industries down the road through tax breaks or incentives?
Well, government shouldn't be doing that. And one of the good things about New Hampshire is that it's not an automobile state or a farm state or an oil state or a coal state. It is a very diverse state. And the average size of the employment workforce per employer is less than 10 people. We have very sharp employers, manufacturers, and service industry owners that can beat the world, if you will, by being flexible, by being innovative. My concern about medical devices is not so much that the government will restrict or make them too successful. The problem is the Obama health care law will impose, beginning of next year, a 2.6% excise tax, which is predicted to have an impact of reducing the number of jobs associated with this industry by about 3,400 in the state. And obviously that's a terrible way to start the new year off. So I think it's important to keep taxes low for businesses and keep them competitive. And lastly, make sure that we have good trading agreements with countries. One out of every four jobs in this state is connected in some manner to exports.
And I wanted to ask about exports, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But first, I wanted to ask about taxes, since you mentioned that. Broadly, you're calling for a simpler tax system, cutting rates, closing loopholes, maybe some revenue increases along the lines of the Simpson-Bowles Commission. Does that mean going forward that we might do away with this idea of tax incentives as a way to nurture an emerging industry, green energy, high-tech fields? Is there something different than we would do in place of a tax incentive?
No, I don't think so, but I do believe that every incentive should be on the table, should be analyzed, should be examined to make sure that it's really doing what it's intended to do and not, firstly, of course, counterproductive or doing harm. And if we can use the simplification of the tax code as well as broadening the base of those who pay by limiting the applicability of deductions, I think that we will have a better tax code. Now, for example, there might be an instance where some sort of a deduction would be capped, but since the industry would be paying a lower overall tax, they might be just as well off and at the same time more competitive internationally. That's the kind of effort that we would undertake. And as you've said, I want to simplify the tax code, lower the top corporate rate so we can compete around the world and get and perhaps increase other rates so that, especially on unearned income, so that we can balance the budget at about 20 to 21% of gross domestic product for both spending and revenue.
Another of the values, or one of the values that you say you'd like to encourage in the economy, is a willingness to innovate and take risk. And in terms of government policy, whether it be incentives or other programs, how much risk should we be willing to take on? Because there can be an upside potential in, say, a startup, but there's often more risk in those startups than there is in something more traditional that might create a few jobs here and there, but also won't have that risk.
That's a fascinating question. I believe that it is appropriate for the government to provide support for nascent industries if they have the potential to be real economic drivers in the future. I'm talking I'm thinking now about, for example, alternative energy development. In my view, we should aim for the government to take technology risk, but not necessarily market risk. And that was one of the pitfalls of the Solyndra deal, because not only was there technology risk associated with that project, but also significant market risk, not to mention legislative. It was hinged on legislative accomplishments. For Solyndra to succeed, the Waxman-Markey climate change bill had to pass, and silicon had to stay, prices had to stay high, and neither of those happened. The government chased after that project much longer than they should have. And this is the kind of problem that we must avoid. But The Department of Energy has a wonderful program called ARPA-E, in which taxpayers' dollars are used to fund the research and development of entirely new ideas for energy sources. And it's very simple, it's very low cost, but it gets these products out so that they can compete in the free market as an established technology.
On exports, and they are a big part of New Hampshire's economy, one of the issues we see is continued uncertainty in the global economy, in Europe, slower growth in China, and so forth. Given those issues, and given just the speed of economic and technological change, is it possible to create a climate of certainty in the future that can encourage people?
Unless you're a fortune teller, there's no such thing as certainty in the future. But the issue that or the base fundamental crisis that we face in the global economy is not so much the volatility of the markets, but the disorderliness of them. Investors and those who take risks would like to predict, the odds of success, and they can do that in a market that they can trust. But in a disorderly market where the whole underpinnings of the currencies and so forth are in question, create dampening effects that don't have anything to do with good business decisions, but rather fear of the unknown. And, the only reason why America is doing better than many of these European nations is because, first of all, we're not subject to the discipline of the euro. And secondly, we have a growth rate of a little less than 2%. And anybody who's run a business knows that if nobody's looking over your shoulder and you are growing a little bit, you can stave off the inevitable for quite some time. And that's why our number one objective has to be get the deficit under control, get our economy at least on a path to recovery, and that will make us so much stronger relative to everybody else. We will have a very quick and strong economic recovery.
You've called excessive regulations a curb on small business activity, and I wanted to ask if there were specific small business regulations that you'd like to do away with now or to change going forward.
Well, first of all, the management of federal regulatory agencies reflects the views of its ultimate, person in charge of everything, and that's the President of the United States. And many small business owners have told me that the very same regulators who used to be reasonable, thoughtful, sympathetic, flexible, now come in and say, I can't go home to my office tonight without a citation or a fine or a penalty of some sort. And there's almost the view that this administration has that business is almost a necessary evil in our society that raises revenue to fund government. And I can't tell you how many small businesses, everything from food to manufacturing to construction and so forth, where the owners live in constant fear of the federal government. They fear the federal government more than they fear slow sales or accounts receivable, bank loans, and the other things that business owners should fear. And that is basically one of many factors that's holding back our economy. So having discuss the issue of change in leadership, I also believe that we should implement some mechanism to determine the cost-benefit of some of these regulations. I'm a strong environmentalist. My record shows it. But I also believe that environmental regulations should be judged on how much they will cost versus what kind of benefit will accrue as a result of its implementation. That is not done today, and I think it should be a priority for the next Congress.
And that you're proposing that would be done for existing regulations as well as proposals for future regulation.
Well, I have supported a form of sunset for regulations. It's not really practical to sunset everything all the time, but committees ought to spend a lot more time reviewing the regulations that are in place now. The Congressional Review Act does not really allow us to repeal a rule or regulation after 90 days of it being implemented. But we can make recommendations and obviously go to legislation if it's really egregious.
Last question, and this is one we're asking of every candidate. What should Granite Staters look for 2 years from now to see whether or not the policies you're proposing have made them economically better off or not than they are here in 2012?
A world, or a state, rather, where unemployment is going down rather than up. In New Hampshire, our unemployment rate has risen almost 1% in the last 2 months. That has to change. A tax code that makes us competitive so that exports are increasing in the state and our employers are finding new customers abroad. Looking to Washington, a Congress that is actually making tough decisions, passing budgets, and showing the constituents that they're willing to work together in a substantive, bipartisan manner to turn this country around and get it going in the right direction.
Congressman Bass, thanks for your time.
You're welcome, Brady.